Welcome to our new podcast series, Round Rock Sunday Sermons. My name is Brad Britton, senior pastor at First United Methodist Church of Round Rock. We are so glad you've connected with us. You can connect in different ways through social media, through our live streams on Facebook or YouTube, our website, fumc-rr.org. Use hashtag FUMCRR. Also, please leave a 5-star review. We are here to walk with you and look forward to seeing you soon, however you join in. In the very near future, we'll be adding community missions to these podcasts, so stay plugged in to find out how you can help. We want you to know that we want to get to know you, to connect with you, and be the church where you can plug in and grow in your faith in Christ. And so, thank you. We welcome you, and let's take this journey together. Now, it is so good to see all of you here today as we worship on this special day. Especially great to see some of you that have family from out of town and that can be together. And so, just a great day here as we celebrate together. So, before we have our message, let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the hope that we all have in him, not just for eternity, but for today. And so help us now to hear a message of hope and grace and love, and to be open to what you say to each one of us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So how did we get here? How did we get to Sunday and a resurrection? Well, Jesus had entered Jerusalem. We call it the triumphal entry. He rode in on a donkey, and most people were expecting the Messiah to come in and clean house, kind of like Clint Eastwood kind of thing. And Jesus instead rides in on a donkey in peace. He then gathers with his disciples. They gather for what we now know as the Last Supper. And it was at that meal that he shared with them this command that they love one another just as he has loved them. He even went as far as washing their feet. Now, that was normally reserved for servants, yet Jesus took that place among them and washed their feet, and he instituted what we know now as communion, the Lord's Supper in some traditions it's called. Then the next day, one of his disciples, Judas, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane in Jerusalem, where the Roman guards come and arrest him. He is then beaten and then ultimately crucified. And as he's crucified, there are two thieves, one on his left and one on his right. And I can't help but think that the human side of Jesus was thinking, I can't even die in peace. I got these two here beside me. Everyone's deriding me. And now one of these thieves asks if I'll remember him. And then, of course, Jesus said, yes, today you'll be with me in paradise, proving once again that God's grace is available anytime for anybody. Joseph of Arimathea was a follower of Jesus, and he asked for permission that he could take Jesus' body and place it in a tomb, his tomb that he had just hewn out of the rock. And so he was given permission to do that, and he took Jesus' body and he placed it in the tomb, and then he rolled the stone over the tomb. End of story, it's over. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as Matthew tells the story, were there when this happened. They saw his body go into the tomb, the stone rolled over it, and they had followed Jesus, they had believed in him, and you can't help but what they were thinking. It's over. Just completely devastated. Anybody ever been there? I mean, that's the human condition some days, isn't it? I mean, everything is lost, there is no hope. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe it's a financial crisis. Maybe it's just a crisis of who am I and what is my purpose on this earth? And it seems there's no hope. And I can just imagine Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, it's early Sunday morning at dawn, and they're going back to the tomb. The Sabbath had just ended. And they were going to the tomb to anoint his body with spices. And then it happened. The surprise of their life. You ever been truly surprised? I mean, really surprised. I think the older we get, we think we've seen it all. The next day is going to be just like any other, and we're surprised. I've been surprised a time or two, even in church. I've told this story here before. One of the first churches I served was called Tawakana United Methodist Church. It's near Mahaya, if you're wondering where that is. So it's right by Mahaya. That helps you. Which is east of Waco. Is that better? My first Sunday, I was 28 years old. First Sunday at that church, I walk in, it's Communion Sunday, and I notice that the communion elements have already been prepared. The cloth is over the bread and the juice, and I'm like, great, that's wonderful. They've taken care of that. So all I got to do is when it comes for communion, I go and just lift the cloth and consecrate the elements. So I walk over to the table. It's time for communion. I lift the cloth, and I'm not making this up. There are two hot dog buns. I'm 28 years old, just graduated from seminary, and so I just turn around and act like I'm praying. So I turn around, they think I'm praying, but I'm really staring at the hot dogs, thinking numerous things. Number one, oh my gosh, is this a tradition? Number two, do you break the hot dog buns like this? Or you know how they... And so I finished the fake prayer, turned around, took the hot dog. I decided this way, by the way, long ways. I mean, of course. And I took the hot dog buns, and I said what any well-trained pastor would say. I took them. I said, this is the body of Oscar Mayer broken for you. No, I didn't say that, but truly surprised. By the way, that wasn't a tradition there. Somebody forgot the communion bread, and they went in and got some hot dogs out of the kitchen that I hope weren't molding, but I didn't notice any mold. Turns out they were the most wonderful people, and I learned more in my 5 years there about how to be a pastor and a follower of Christ than I think I have anywhere else. So we know what it's like to be surprised, and the women arrive at the tomb, and there's an earthquake. I mean, a big earthquake, it says. And then an angel appears, rolls back the stone, and interestingly enough, the angel sits on the stone. Now, isn't that odd? You can almost just see the angel perched up on the stone, maybe with a smirk on his face. I don't know, just... And this angel has instructions for the women. He said that Jesus is risen. He is not here. But he asked me to tell you to go to his disciples and tell them to meet him in Galilee. So go. Well, the text says that they were afraid and joyful at the same time. You ever experienced that? Just you've experienced something so amazing. There's a fear to it, but there's also this joy, and you don't know what to feel. And as they're running towards the direction to tell the disciples, they run into Jesus himself, and Jesus says, greetings. Now, isn't that odd? What do you say after a resurrection? What in the world do you say after you have been raised from the dead and you encounter those who didn't have any clue that this was coming? He says, greetings, which actually can be translated into rejoice. So it's not, he didn't just say hi. He said, rejoice. And then he gives them instructions. He says, go, like you heard before, go and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. So the resurrected Christ shows up with instructions. He doesn't just show up and say, hey, I'm alive, it's all good, go do whatever you want. Instead, it's go, 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 go. This wasn't the first time, by the way, that Jesus used the word go. One day he was teaching in a house, and there were so many people coming to him, bringing people to be healed, and these friends of a paralytic brought him on a mat to the house. There was no room in the house. So they actually climbed up on the roof and lowered their friend down into the house at the feet of Jesus. Jesus then says, your sins are forgiven. The religious leaders were in the house, said, what gives you the right to do that? And Jesus said, well, just so you know that I'm the Son of God, I say to you, to the paralytic, stand up, take your mat, and go home. There it is again. Go. Then there's the day that he was traveling along and there were 10 lepers who cried out to him. Remember, lepers were kind of cast out in society and they weren't to be talked to or even touched. And they approached Jesus wanting to be healed. And Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. In other words, you'll be healed on the way. So go. So this is a God who calls us not just to sit, but to go. So when God raised Jesus from the dead, it wasn't just, hey, I won. It's all good. Everybody gets to go to heaven now. It's all good. It was God's way of saying everything that happened to Christ, all the injustice, all the evil, all those things have been defeated, and even death has been defeated. That's what the resurrection says very clearly. And it's an absolute miracle. This is one of the hardest sermons to preach, by the way, in the entire year. I would say it is the hardest. And you would think, well, it's Easter, it's the resurrection. And part of it is, what in the world is someone like me going to add to this story that isn't already there? I mean, we could have just read the text and gone home. Now, don't say amen. I know you. You're thinking it. I mean, how do you explain this? It's like the guy in 2019. Anybody fill out a March Madness bracket? Anybody here? I did. It's okay. Raise your hand. You act like it's a guy named Greg Nigel. Did you hear this story? He filled out these brackets and he was going with his family on a vacation and he got sick and, well, he filled them out and really wasn't able to keep up with the scores and all. And then he got a call from the NCAA. Turns out one of the brackets he'd filled out was the best they'd ever seen. He had picked 49 straight games correctly. The first, you know what the odds of that are? That is like winning the Powerball twice. I mean, how do you explain these things? There's some things in life that you just can't explain, and the resurrection is one of them, and thank goodness, because, you know, you don't always have to understand the things that God does. And that's a real gift. It's a real gift to be able to receive that which we could not come up with on our own. Even ourselves, there's not a person in here that created yourself. And there's not a person in here that can raise yourself from the dead. But God can and God will. But I can't help but thinking of that word go. You know, when they met in Galilee, which, by the way, the disciples were in Jerusalem. Galilee, I've been to Israel. It's about an hour and a half bus ride. So imagine Galilee to Jerusalem, about an hour and a half. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? The Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they come up to him and say, hey, Jesus is alive. We just ran into him. And they're thinking, great, where is he? Well, you got to go to Galilee to see him. And they got to be thinking, really? And what were they talking about on the way to Galilee? This better be real. I mean, this is a hassle having to go all the way back home to Galilee. He better be there. Well, they get back to Galilee, and sure enough, there he is. Where it all began, there he is. He's there, and you can just see them by the lake. And Matthew 28 is where he gives what we know now as the Great Commission. And what did he say? He used that word again. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so you can now go. You can now go and make something of your life in this grace and love and forgiveness. So this isn't just today about, well, let's get together with family, let's all go to church, let's have a nice lunch, and oh yeah, Jesus is raised from the dead, and I get to live forever when this is all over. It's way more than that. It's about today, too. What can God do through you and your life today? Because he's telling you to go and he's telling me to go. I have a close friend who passed away a few weeks ago. His name was Kip. And Alicia and I got married in 1996. And then a year later, we started attending this church up in Fort Worth. And Kip and his wife Gail were members there. And they were one of the first friends that we kind of connected with at that church. And their kids were younger. Their oldest son, Andrew, was in high school, played football, and Kip was a high school football coach. And so we went to the games with them and kind of became really like family, and they're just kind people. In 2010, Andrew, Kip's son, died in a motorcycle accident. And they asked me to come back and officiate the service, so I was glad to do that for them. And at the service, one of the things the family wanted to have read was the Apostles' Creed. And I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. And you know, it goes on and talks about Jesus being raised. And well, not long after that, Kip was diagnosed with cancer, and he fought it for years, and it was bad. And his wife, Gail, just a wonderful person, and their daughter, Shelby, through it all. So Alicia and I attended Kip's service a couple of weeks ago, and they had gotten connected with a Episcopal church that Kip and Gail loved, and they had the rector of that church officiate the service. So I was able to just go and just be a friend, and I really appreciated that. And it was a high church experience. If you're Episcopal here visiting today, if you've been to Episcopal church, man, they do it well. If the traditional, it was beautiful. And that's how Kip wanted the service to be. They served communion, and they gave a heads up to everybody. Hey, this is real wine, by the way. And you can either sip from the cup or just dip your bread in. And so when Alicia and I went up to receive, I was thinking, dip, dip, dip. No drink, dip. Well, she took a sip, so I said, why not? I'll take a sip for Kip. Pardon the rhyme. He'd appreciate that joke, by the way. But in the center aisle, towards the front where we were sitting, as I looked to the left, they had his ashes there covered over in a cloth. And on top of the cloth was one of these. This is prayer beads. One of the things that Kip did when he was too sick to do anything else was learn how to make these beads for people, made hundreds of these, and he gave them to people just with the simple request that they remember that God loves them, and when they're praying, if you need something to hold on to. And so I looked over, and there they were. And I went home later that day, and sure enough, I had the ones that Kip had sent me, and they were in my dresser, and Alicia had hers. And so last Sunday, I preached with these in my pocket. And I thought about Kip and how it is never, ever too late to go. Ever. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And that doesn't mean go and be judgmental and hateful to people and all of that we see in the world too much these days. He said, I want you to go and just love people as I have loved you. And so these beads are not just prayer beads to me anymore. They are a reminder of a follower of Christ who loved me, and because he decided to go, made a difference in my life. I don't know if you noticed the flowers on the cross. Did you notice those coming in? That's a tradition here at the church. A lot of churches do that. They'll have a cross, and people can bring flowers and then put them on the cross. And I'm sure by now it's full of flowers. I haven't seen it since early this morning. And this morning at the sunrise service, a family came up with flowers. They were the first one to show up at the service. About 6:30, they showed up for the 7 o'clock. I was still trying to get that first cup of coffee down, just disoriented, you know, one of those. I greet them, say hi, and they say, where can we put these? I said, come on over. I walked over to the cross, and You know what she said to me? She said, we started coming here about a month and a half ago and just moved here not too long ago. And I want you to know that up until recently, my husband didn't believe in God. And now he does. And she took that flower and put it in the cross. I said, what made the difference? What made him go from not believing any of this to showing up at an ungodly hour on Easter? She said, I don't know. And like I said before, some things you just don't have to know, do you? And I never thought of that cross the same way after experiencing that. I always thought, well, the beautiful flowers, but do you know that everybody that puts a flower on that cross, that symbolizes a family or a person that is experiencing something in life today? Those aren't just flowers. Those are people going and bringing the best they have to God. Some of those flowers on the cross are placed by people that literally just lost a spouse. I saw one of them earlier today putting a flower on the cross. Some of them, like the family I met, are experiencing great joy because everything's different now. And they put their flower on the cross. And we're reminded once again that Jesus said to go. And I imagine you're here today because somewhere in your heart, he's calling you to go. Well, let's go back to the Sea of Galilee. The disciples are there. Jesus gives them these instructions before he ascends to heaven. Go. And I can't help but think that not one or two, but maybe all the disciples thought about that time earlier when Jesus said, as you'll find in John 14, when Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. In fact, it's translated, there's room to spare. And what did he say? I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back, and I will take you to myself. That is what we can celebrate today, not just forever, but for today. Don't ever forget that you're a precious child of God, loved in God's grace, and God wants you to go, and he promises to go with you. Karl Barth was like the Michael Jordan of theologians, the 1900s. German theologian, just incredible, and wrote vast volumes on theology. He was older and near death, and he was able to make this appearance. It was one of his last appearances. He was speaking at a seminary, and one of the questions at the very end, they asked him, they said, what is the one thing you would say to us in all your years of study and writing? What's the one thing you would say to us that you have found to be the most profound? And so he just sat there for a minute, closed his eyes, and you can imagine all these seminarians just with pen and paper ready to write down. I mean, we're about to get the best of the best. They're poised and ready. And do you know what he said? As he opened his eyes, he smiled and he said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. So all there's left to do is go.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's sermon series podcast from First United Methodist Church of Round Rock, Texas. For more information, you can find us online at fumc-rr.org or find us on social media at fumcrr.